Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord for the privilege to share the word of God with you today. And I believe that the Lord is going to speak to our hearts as we're going to study his word today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us, Lord, to come and to study your word. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you speak to each one of us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you give us heart, Lord, that are ready to receive your word again today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for having your way again today. Thank you for speaking through me. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So today, the theme is the incarnation came with expectations. The incarnation came with expectations. I don't know if each one of you has ever really thought about it, but for me, it's mind-blowing when I think again that the God who has created the universe has become a human. The God who has created the billions of galaxies, the trillions of stars, the God who has created all the planets that exist, the God who has created the sun and the moon, the God who knows everything, the God who has created the heavens and the earth, the God who even knows the exact number of hair which are on my head right now. This divine being has become a human. And he chose to come to this earth because he loves you. Because he loves me. That's amazing, isn't it? And as you may already know, God became a human in the person of Jesus. So Jesus being a human being, he needed to eat like you and I. He needed to sleep like us. He could bleed. He could express emotions like joy, sorrow, anger. So God literally became a human in the person of Jesus. And this is what we call the incarnation. Though God became a human in the person of Jesus, it doesn't mean that Jesus, who is the second person of the Godhead, stopped being God or ceased to be God when he took the human form. But he was fully God and fully human. But he chose to walk on this earth merely as a human. I'd like us to read in John chapter 1, verse 14. So the word here is Jesus became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So God became a human in the person of Jesus. And you know, the coming of Jesus to earth established expectations. Because Jesus is the Messiah that was supposed to come. Jesus is the Messiah that was prophesied about throughout the Old Testament. So his coming to earth came with expectations. I remember there was a day we had a prayer meeting with a couple of brothers and sisters. And a sister received a vision from the Lord. So she shared the vision. And in that vision, she saw my future spouse. She saw my future wife. And you know, the Bible says that we shouldn't despise prophecies, but we should test all things. So I perceived that this is from the Lord. And you know, for someone who is single, such kind of visions do create expectations. And the same way the people of Israel had expectations about a Messiah that was going to come, as prophet throughout the Old Testament prophesied about a Messiah that was going to come. And a Messiah, which means the anointed one or the chosen one. But you know, the Old Testament had several mysteries about a Messiah that was going to come. For instance, mysteries such as, would the Messiah come to suffer or to reign? Would the Messiah die at some point? Would he be cut off? Or he will reign forever? Though the dominant expectation during Jesus' first coming in the first century was that the Messiah will come to reign. So the Jewish people at that time were expecting a Messiah that would deliver them from the domination of the Romans. So that's why we read passages such as John 6, chapter 14 to 15, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So they were going to force him to become a king because this was the expectation that they had about a Messiah. And that's why people like Peter didn't want Jesus to die when Jesus revealed to them, to the disciples, that he was going to suffer and to die. Peter didn't want that because, again, the expectation that they had was that the Messiah would come to reign now. So the Jewish people didn't know that the Messiah was going to come twice. That the first time it was going to come to suffer, to die, and to resurrect. And the second time it was going to come to reign and to restore everything. So today I'd like us to spend some time in one of the prophecies that the Jews knew very well, a prophecy about the Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. And Isaiah was one of the well-known prophets who prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. He prophesied about the coming of the Messiah hundreds of years before the Messiah was born. So we read in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." So Jesse was the father of King David. You remember King David in the Bible. Jesse was his father. So here the prophet Isaiah was metaphorically prophesying about the fulfillment of the promise that was given to King David. God gave a promise to King David that one of his sons or one of his descendants will reign forever. And you can read it in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So this son or descendant of David, or this shoot or branch that the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about, is Jesus. We read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." So Jesus is this descendant of David that the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about. So God told Israel through the prophet Isaiah that a shoot was going to come from the stump of Jesse, or the family of Jesse. And God did it. He sent Jesus. And this prophecy was a message of hope for the people of Israel. So I don't know what God has said that he would do for you. I don't know what was that word for which God used his servants to prophesy to you. But I just want to encourage you today and tell you that God always keeps his word. No matter how long it takes, no matter how things are looking like right now, I want you to continue to believe and to trust in the Lord, that God always keeps his word. He's not a man to lie, not a son of a man to repent. His word is the truth. And the coming of Jesus is a proof again that God always keeps his word. Amen. So Jesus is this shoot, or this descendant of David that the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about. And we read in verse 2, said Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So here the prophet Isaiah continues to describe the Messiah that will come. And he talks about the Holy Spirit that will be upon him. And he goes on and talks about different characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He says, "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So all these characteristics or attributes will rest upon Jesus, upon the Messiah. And Isaiah continues in verse 3 to verse 5, "And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ear hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." So here the prophet Isaiah continues to give a description of the Messiah that will come and the way that he's going to rule his kingdom. So the Messiah will rule with justice. Those who oppress will be vindicated. The wicked will be killed. And there'll be fairness in the way that he's going to rule. There'll be fairness in the way that he's going to judge. And sometimes we look at the news. I don't know which one is your favorite channel. I don't know if it's Fox News or CNN. But when we look at the news and we observe decisions that some leaders make, and sometimes we say this decision that this leader made is not fair. But Jesus will rule with fairness. He will rule with equity. And as we've read earlier, that he will not even judge based on what he will see or hear, but he will judge based on righteousness. So the people of Israel were expecting such kind of leader for the nation. But don't you want such kind of leader for a nation as well? A leader who rules with righteousness. Wow. So we read in verse 6 to verse 9, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead him. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the wing child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. So here Isaiah describes how the rule of the Messiah will bring much more than just a perfect leadership. There'll be a complete change at a point that animals that used to eat other animals for food will now be eating plants. Like we've read earlier, lion eating straw with the ox. So animals will most likely go back to the state that they had before sin entered into the world, before Adam sinned. We believe that at that time they were not eating meat or flesh, but they were eating plants. So Isaiah describes a time when animals that used to be dangerous will not be dangerous anymore. At a point that a small child can play safely around animals like snakes. So there will be peace on the earth. There will be nothing harmful or evil because the earth will be full of the knowledge of God. Wow. And you know, this prophecy that we're reading today was written way before the coming of the Messiah, way before the Messiah was born. So when the Jewish people were reading this prophecy, these verses that we just read from verse 1 to verse 9, they really had a great expectation. And especially in the first century, as they were under the domination of the Romans. So they were really looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And in verse 10, we read, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. So the root of Jesse is again another way of calling the Messiah, as we've seen earlier, that a Messiah will come from the lineage of King David, and Jesse was the father of King David. And Isaiah says that he shall stand as a banner to the nations, or as a symbol to the nations, and the Gentiles shall seek him. And the Apostle Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah in Romans chapter 15, verse 12. He says, and again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. A Gentile is simply someone who is not a Jew. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So God has started this plan of salvation with the people of Israel. But his plan was not only for the people of Israel, but also for the Gentiles that we are. So the Apostle Paul, by quoting the prophet Isaiah, he was teaching the people in Rome that prophecies always pointed to the inclusion of the Gentiles. So Jesus was not going to come only for the people of Israel, but it was going to come also for the Gentiles that we are. And at the end of verse 12, the Apostle Paul says that in him, the Gentiles shall hope. And you know, the kind of hope that the Apostle Paul is talking about is not wishful thinking. It's not a kind of hope for which someone may say, I hope that next Saturday it doesn't rain because I want to go to Disney or because I have plans. As a person is saying that, a person is not 100% sure that it's not going to rain. The person is wishing that it doesn't rain, but it might rain after all. But the kind of hope that the Apostle Paul is talking about is a hope which is certain. It's a hope for which we can say that it's 100% sure, because it's a hope which rests on the promises of God. It's a hope which rests on the character of God. The hope that the Apostle Paul is talking about is a confident expectation. So when we hope in Jesus, we have this confident expectation that everything that he has said will surely come to pass. We are really sure about it. We don't have any doubt. It's like being sure that if I drop this ball, it will fall on the ground. I don't have doubt about it. I don't think twice about it. You know, I know that if I drop it to fall on the ground, I don't think that would the ball be, would it be stuck on the, like in the air, or would something happen? No. Like, I know that it will fall. I'm sure about it. And it's like being sure that if I open this bottle of water and I pour out water in the glass, I know that the water will be poured out. I don't have any doubt about it. I don't think twice about it. In fact, I'm expecting the water to be poured out in my glass. So similarly, when we hope in Jesus, we are sure that all his promises will come to pass. We have this confident expectation that everything that he has said will surely come to pass. We are really sure about it. We don't have any doubt. How can we be so sure about it? Because we know who God is, and we know that God is always faithful. So how does this kind of hope come to us? And where does this kind of hope come to us? Or where does this kind of hope come from, rather? So we read in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul, in this prayer for the people in Rome, is calling God the God of hope. So hope comes from God. God is the source of hope. And we receive that hope when we trust in the Lord. We receive that hope by faith. Our trust in God brings hope to us. So if someone wonders, how is it that I don't have hope? Well, it means that that person didn't put his trust in the Lord. Because when you put your trust in the Lord, God fills you with all joy and peace. And the result of it is abundant hope or overflowing hope. And as we're talking about trusting, you cannot trust someone that you don't know. I don't know if any of you will be okay to leave your child with a complete stranger on the street, someone that you just met randomly. Like, assuming that you have a child, and or you literally have a child, and maybe you need to go somewhere for an hour or two, will you leave your child with someone that you don't know at all, with a complete stranger? I'm sure that you don't do that. Why? Because you don't know that person. And because you don't know that person, so you don't trust that person. But if you knew that person, or if you know that person, and you know that that person is trustworthy, you entrust that person with your child. And the same way, when we know God, we'll be able to trust him. And we get to know God primarily through his word. So we read in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, everything written in the scriptures was written to teach us, in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which the scriptures give. So when we read the word of God, when we meditate the word of God, when we study the word of God, we get to know God. We get to know who God is. We get to know His character. We get to know the heart of God. We get to know everything that He has done in the past. And we receive hope through the patience and the encouragement that the scriptures give. So it's very important that we read the Word of God. It's very important that we study the Word of God. It's very important that we get to know God through His Word. And you know, when we hope in Jesus, when we put our hope in Jesus, discouragement goes, anxiety goes, depression goes. Why? Because we know that God is with us. We know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that God is the answer to all the problems that we have or that we may ever have. And you know, one of the promises that God has given to us is that God has promised to answer our prayers. And the Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. So I don't know what you've asked the Lord for and you haven't seen it coming to pass. But the Bible also says that if we ask according to His will, we know that He hears us. And because we know that He hears us, we know that we have what we have asked for. So I just want to encourage you today to continually hope in Jesus. I just want to encourage you today to continue to have this confident expectation that everything that God has said will surely come to pass. That all His promises for your life will surely come to pass. All His promises for your life now and your life after death, all these promises will surely come to pass because God is faithful. So as we conclude for today, as we finish for today, the incarnation came with expectations because incarnation is a message of hope. And not only a message of hope for the people of Israel, but also a message of hope for you and I, for the Gentiles that we are. And you know, without incarnation, we'll not have the death of Jesus on the cross and His resurrection. And because Jesus was resurrected, we have hope that we too will be resurrected. And we'll always be with the Lord, like the Apostle Paul was saying. We have hope that we'll have new bodies, like the one that Jesus had when He was resurrected. We have hope in God that the same way that He brought to fulfillment all the prophecies about the first coming of Jesus, all the prophecies about incarnation that we are talking about today, the same way He will bring to pass or bring to fulfillment all the prophecies about His second coming and the reign of Jesus on earth. So we look forward to it with great expectations. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for everything, Lord, that You have taught us today and everything that You have reminded us today. Lord, I pray that we'll continually hope in You. No matter, Lord, what we're going through right now, Lord, I pray that we'll continually have our hope in You. Lord, I pray that we'll continually trust in You. Help us, O Lord, to continue trusting You. Help us, Lord, not to have our eyes, Lord, on the circumstances or the problems that we might be going through, but to have our eyes on You, O Jesus. Lord, we thank You and we give You all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.